is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good evening, Bahamas. Welcome. My name is Dr. Graham Cates. I will be hosting this evening The Urologist Speaks. Dr. Gregory Pinto is traveling and has invited myself to be your host. Joining me this evening is my beautiful wife and nurse at Family Medicine Center, Nurse Anita Cates.
Hi, good evening. It's awesome to be hanging out with you this evening. Yes. People are going to get a glimpse into what we chat about over our dining room table in the evening.
There you go. So it is so wonderful to have you all here this evening. As I said, my name is Dr. Cates. I'm the medical director for Family Medicine Center. Nurse Anita Cates is joining me. She is the clinical director at Family Medicine Center, where we provide comprehensive healthcare services. Greg, if you're listening in, I hope you are having a wonderful and safe travel experience and enjoying your conference. So tonight, Anita and I are going to take an opportunity to just have a chat and talk with you a little bit about some of the things that we're seeing happening in the world of medicine, locally within the Bahamas in this beautiful country, but also globally. And what are some of the things that we're seeing, the changes that are happening, and also what are some of the things that we can do as individuals to be able to make a difference? So to start the conversation off, Anita, just to talk a little bit about what are some of the changes that you've seen. We came home in 2001 and right. We set up our clinical practice and then set up Family Medicine Center. So what have you seen happening to the health of our country and the world over the last 20 plus years that we've been practicing together?
You know, I've been thinking about this a lot, actually, because we have seen considerable growth as an island. And when we first went out west, there was nothing. Sandyport hadn't even been built at this time. We didn't even have electronic medical records. It was you, a stethoscope, myself, and our wonderful assistants, Rhonda. And the biggest thing that I saw at that time was a lack of information. Cell phones had just come out. We barely had the internet. So people didn't have the education that they needed to take care of themselves when it came to their health. And there was a lot of misinformation. So stick a pin in that. And I think there's two other things that have changed a lot. Do you remember back in the day, we would ask people if they were wearing their seatbelts?
Sure, absolutely.
And that was one of the first things. And everybody was saying, no, we're not going to wear our seatbelts. But that was a big agenda for us. And now we don't even ask that question. So that's obviously, I think, surprisingly, more and more people are actually going to the dentist as well. At one time, people were not going at all. And I'm not sure if that's been a change in the fact that people are more aware. And as you know, dental health is really important. I think one of the greatest things that's happened is that we're seeing more and more people exercising.
Yes.
Because I think we had one gym. It was like Gold's Gym. Everybody knows that at the Bridge. And that was it. There was nothing west. People were not exercising. And I know that's been a huge boom and exercise, fitness, fun runs, and that has been marvelous to see. I think the majority of people are doing some form of exercise or at least aware of it. So that's been amazing. However, what I have found, and it's very interesting, I think globally, obviously, our size has increased significantly.
Now, when you talk about size, what are you talking about?
Yeah. I'm talking about our pant size.
Pant size, yes.
Yeah, our clothing sizes have increased significantly. And that's very surprising based on what I was just saying. And based on, as well, the uptake of annual physicals. And I know we're going to get in there. But I think, so those changes, people are more aware. But, and I spoke earlier about information, there's been a flip side. So we had no information or misinformation. And sadly now, we have an abundance of information, and we have far more misinformation.
Yeah, for sure.
So we've gone from one end to the other. So I'm still educating at the same point and trying to make sure that people understand and help them to navigate through this huge information set of information that's on the internet. And we didn't have that.
Yeah, so it's very interesting from my experience over the last 20 years. What I've really seen shifting is definitely one is access to information. And
yep.
So information is readily available, but often people don't use the information to the best of their ability, or the information that they decide to follow may not be verified information and maybe incorrect information.
Right.
So part of information gathering is really to make sure that the sources that you're actually using for information are accurate, reliable sources, because there is so much information out there. Every day we are bombarded with information on the computers, the texts, you name it,
everything,
and everything is being pushed at you. And so one of the things that we need to do as individuals and also with our healthcare providers is make sure that the information that we are receiving is accurate, reliable information. So how do you do that? What are some of the ways in which people can verify that this is reliable health information that they're actually having access to?
Right. I think that is a great question. Going to sites that we know are going to be reputable. So the American Diabetes Association,
yes.
The American Heart Association, any type of breast cancer association, anything that has an association with it is going to have the most updated information and the best research that you can follow.
Yeah, and I think what goes along with that is just making sure that it is a nationally recognized institution.
Correct,
as you said, the associations, you have other things like CDC, the disease control, you have the Ministry of Health and Wellness in the Bahamas that has information, statistics available, and also health information available to you as individuals. So it is important to verify the information that you're getting. I will say, and when it sounds like a duck, when it quacks, is not always a duck.
I don't know. I'm not sure
like
if
that.
That's quite right.
Yeah,
but anyway,
along those lines. But nonetheless, I think it is important that as individuals that we have to recognize that we need to verify what is being said to us. And this even goes down to the relationship with our healthcare providers.
Yep.
When we talk about the relationship with your healthcare provider, it is essential that you have good communication, that you can be able to have open dialogue with them. I would have just had a patient in my office today, by way of example, who I had seen 2 weeks ago, and it had an adverse effect associated with some medication that I had prescribed.
Mm-hmm.
Out of no fault of her own,
mm-hmm.
She didn't call and let me know that she was having an adverse effect. And so that communication piece as healthcare providers is important to let us know. Let patients know, hey, look, you know, we want to know, we want you to ask the questions so that we can then help to be able to process that information and give you reliable information. And why is it important to have reliable information? because it has a long-term impact on the quality of your health.
Absolutely. You know, and it's interesting you should actually talk about medication. And I know that's one of the things that obviously people don't want to take. But you and I are in the business of keeping people healthy. You and I do not give somebody medication knowing it's going to be harmful.
Correct.
We want, so it's very important that, you know, everything has a side effect. We know that. So it's important that, yeah, that we encourage patients to call up. I mean, honestly, I think you're one of the few physicians that people have direct access to, and they can just shoot you a note and say, hey, I'm concerned about this. What are your thoughts? But of course, they speak to maybe their friends, check Dr. Google. And yeah, I think it's important to go to a reliable source, just as we were talking about with the reliable information.
Yeah, and I think the other part of that that's very important for everyone to understand is that as physicians and healthcare providers, we're human, right?
True.
We are not perfect people in any way. We are trying to live a good quality life, just as you are trying to look after our health and well-being. And we don't always get it right. And so we want you to give us the feedback
yes.
on ways in which we can better communicate with you, better mm-hmm. provide you with information. And if you have questions that we are not answering, then please let us know. Come back to us and say, hey, doc, I didn't understand this or I didn't understand that. So speaking of information, when we look globally at what mm-hmm. is happening and when we look at the health of the society in the Bahamas, what are some of the big ticket items that are being seen on a day-to-day basis in your clinical practice?
You know, I mentioned about the positivity of people exercising. I think that has been wonderful. I think the biggest thing is honestly nutrition. And some of the saddest things that I'm actually seeing in clinic now are children who are nutritionally deficit, and we're seeing this on blood work, because they're not getting the nutrients that they need. So I feel as though that we're in a bit of a pickle right now when it comes to us globally, where we are trying to feed everybody. There's a lot of packaged goods. Packaged goods create money for big business, and they're quick and they're easy. So processed food is, we're really challenged with that, I believe, as a country, just because of the way it's set up as well. And I think it's difficult to get really great food products that are healthy for us. They are available. It's difficult to see. But unfortunately, we're seeing such an impact on people's nutritional health, nutrition, that is affecting their health in such a negative way. I mean, I actually want to share with you today, we're talking about people, had a lady who's had uncontrolled glucoses, and very, very high, very, very high glucose levels. And she's drinking one of these, I didn't even say the name, but a very, very sweet drink, and daily. And just by stopping that, she was able to bring her glucose down to a normal level. And that's amazing for me. So yes, nutrition impacting glucose levels, high salt processed foods with high blood pressure, not enough vegetables and fruit. So for me in practice, I think that's the biggest thing that I've seen.
So sticking with the theme of nutrition, and again, looking at my 20 years plus experience here in the Bahamas, one of the things that I have seen shifted significantly is just the intake of sugars.
Mm.
A massive intake in sugars. And this is through all of our population ages, where we now have the biggie size of everything, the
yep.
biggie drink, the biggie bags of whatever it is that we're actually getting.
Mm-hmm.
And when you actually dive down in and looking at the nutritional value associated with this, most of it is sugar-based, sucroses and fructoses and corn starches and all of these other things that are impacting the health and well-being of you as an individual and me as well. And so it is important that we be aware of what we are doing so that we can have positive outcomes associated with our nutrition. One of the things that you mentioned was about the accessibility and availability of healthy options. I think these are available to our population. There are farmers markets that are available where people can go if you have access to transportation to be able to get it. And one of the things that we have lost the art of is farming, and farming in your own backyard. Why are we not thinking about this as an alternative for people to be able to produce some of your own fruits and vegetables? And I know families that are currently doing this.
That's so awesome.
And they are having very positive outcomes on their health because they're getting their own fruits and vegetables out of their own garden and are using them and making the best of the limitations that they may have to access from the groceries or other areas. But making sure that they are making wise decisions associated with their nutrition. And so nutrition has an impact on our overall health and well-being.
Oh my gosh, everything.
Not just in terms of deficiencies of vitamins that we may see, such as iron or B12 in the diet, which we're seeing increasingly common, common now in children and in adults.
You mentioned, before you go on, B12 and iron. So what foods does somebody need to get B12? I mean, I'm thinking it's going to be those leafy green vegetables that we need, right? And of course, the leafy greens also have iron in them too. So again, we're going back to the natural sources. And vitamin B12 is really low. And yes, you can take a supplement, but you're still not getting the additional benefit of the vegetables, are you?
Yeah, the most natural way for nutrition is to make sure that you are getting it through the way that you're eating.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the ideal way, right? I mean, the multivitamin business and supplementation business is a multi-billion dollar industry for a reason.
Right, of course.
And again, we are seeing this shift in the health of persons where we have persons that are coming in, our patients that are coming in, that are taking 10, 12, 20 different supplements on a daily basis to provide themselves with adequate nutrients, or so they believe to provide themselves with adequate nutrients, when really we could do a lot of that just by making healthy nutritional choices.
Yeah.
And so when we look at the health consequences associated with nutrition, we talked about vitamin deficiencies being one.
Yeah.
The other one you mentioned is about blood sugar. So what is that impact on blood sugar, and what are you seeing in practice that is concerning about blood sugar when we're testing patients for blood sugar?
We are seeing a huge increase in abnormal blood glucoses at the annual physical level.
Every day.
I lost count. If I remember, this is a long time back, I remember questioning the results. I'm like, they can't be this high. The lab's got to be off. It wasn't our lab at the time, I do want to say. But it was crazy. And what I'm seeing in practice is that there are a lot of people with prediabetes. Now, this means that the sugar's high, but it's not as high to be diagnosed as diabetes, but prediabetes. And when I speak to people, it's like that warning light that comes on your car, like you need a service. And then I say to, listen, if you've got to cut back, these are some of the things. And you mentioned about sugar. The first thing is cut back on the juice, soda, Vitamalt, you know, anything that has a lot of sugar in. For example, the other day, I think I counted that in a small cup, somebody put 6 spoons of sugar in there.
Yeah, I think I've seen 9 or 10.
Whoa! Yeah. And they're not actually teaspoons, you know. The spoons that we have in the Bahamas are at least tablespoons. Mm-hmm. So definitely, absolutely, 100% an increase in diabetes. And sadly...
Well, you were talking about pre-diabetes.
Pre-diabetes
is where there is an elevation in blood sugar, but you're not diabetic. But this is the warning light that says, hey, look, this is the direction that you're heading in. And if you don't do something, you're going to end up in a diabetic state.
Correct. Right. And this is one of the other things I've seen in practice, is we've now seen that conversion. So we've been saying to somebody for years, listen, you guys need to make some changes, Yeah, yeah, I will. And now, 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the line, I wish I'd listened to you because I wouldn't have diabetes now. And it's like, oh, and for us, I know that breaks our hearts because we can see it coming. So yes, we do have a lot of people who are actually diagnosed right away with type 2 diabetes. We're seeing that elevation in the glucose level. We're seeing the elevation in blood pressure, cholesterol. And one of the other things, actually, I guess we'll get to chat about this later. We're talking about this 20-year span of warnings, making sure. The other thing that I'm seeing now is chronic kidney disease. And we've seen those measurements change. So that's another thing that I've seen in practice, is a change in kidney function, which is very, very sad and not necessary. The other, I think the most important thing is our children are suffering. A lot of children are obese. I mean, the research was showing us globally, we're practically number one for obesity in children. And that, to me, is very, very concerning.
Yeah, and that sets up everybody for long-term ill health.
Correct.
When we start out with a paradigm shift of where weight has become such a significant concern,
right,
that then that's just setting up everybody for chronic, non-communicable diseases, pre-diabetes, diabetes, high cholesterol, hypertension, heart disease, strokes,
right,
cancers. These are all things that are well documented, right, in the medical literature that are coming out of the results of the obesity pandemic that we're seeing. And when we're talking about weight and obesity, it is so important that everyone knows their BMI. Their BMI is your body mass index. Mm-hmm. And this is a normal range where we would want to see your body weight. And I always get this conversation from patients, oh, well, it's because my genetics, or it's because my bones are heavy.
Big bone.
And, you know, there are exceptions to every rule, but for 90% of the people that we see on a daily basis, if your BMI, which is your height to weight ratio, falls out of the normal parameters of the 20 to 24.9, that is an indication that you probably are above the target body weight that you want to be. In a recent review of medical records at my office, when I was looking at the number of patients that we were seeing, we were consistently seeing patients of BMIs above 30, which is well above overweight. This is now into the category of obesity.
Mm-hmm.
So when we look at these types of conditions, we want to be proactive in being able to manage them.
Absolutely.
And before we go to the break, when we talk about looking into these conditions for the persons that we're seeing in practice, what are the types of testings that we should be doing on a regular basis for screening patients, the non-communicable chronic diseases that we're seeing?
That's a really great question. And the good news is everybody has access now to annual physicals.
Yes.
That has been, we're talking about shifts, since NHI has come on board.
Access to healthcare
has improved. So if we think about the blood tests that are needed, I do actually have a flashing light. What do you want me to do with that? We want to take it? Okay, let us take the call before I get into that. We might have to go on to those blood tests after the break. So let's grab this caller.
Hi, good evening and welcome.
Yes, good evening. Thank you for taking my call. I hope you're doing well this evening.
We are great. Thank you.
I was enjoying the conversation and the concern that you all have for the health, the the people in the country, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was just thinking how about things like, you know, we talk about progress mm-hmm. and different stuff like that, and talk about advance in medicine and all these different things, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yet still we see the advancement of these non-communicable diseases or whatever they call them, especially among people who never was in jeopardy of catching them. Like one time ago, diabetes used to be called a rich white man's disease, right? Mm-hmm. But now you have diabetes in little children of color. You know, so I mean, so we talk about it's a progress thing, but I mean, you know, and I mean, while I was listening to you, and y'all were talking about how individuals lack the proper nutrition, right? I mean, like, the government needs to make, like every government of the world, if they truly care about their citizens, right, they should implement policy that guarantees that the diet of the nation would be one where individuals get the necessary nutrients. And like I was listening to the lady, and she was talking about how processed foods are taking over, right?
Yes.
And the thing about it is that, you know, government should discourage corporations from that. But the problem is that governments work for corporations.
Correct.
You know what I mean? Corporations Correct. Are the ones who lobby governments and set the policy. But I just want to end with a question here. Because I heard talking about renal failure, about kidney, about how the advance of kidney disease is on
yes.
the rise, right? But I want to ask you a question. When we had the COVID, when there was the COVID, they were treating patients with a drug called remdesivir, right? And remdesivir is proven to cause renal failure. And I was wondering, do you think it's possible that the treatment of remdesivir for COVID patients could be a reason for why we have this increase in kidney failure? But I appreciate you should all sit back and listen. Thank you very much.
No, thank you for the question. That's a great question. Go ahead, Doug.
Yeah, thank you for your comments and your questions. So there's two parts to the question. One part that I'd like to address first is about the medication. So, you know, when we look at any type of disease process that's happening, including kidney disease, it is never one factor. It is always multifactorial. And so, yes, there are certain medications that can be prescribed that can cause kidney disease or kidney failure. But when we look at the larger statistics that are being collected in the Bahamas and globally, we know for a fact that the leading causes of renal failure, chronic renal failure, are hypertension and diabetes. Those are by far the two commonest things, and that is well documented in the medical literature and the statistics that the government of the Bahamas, the Ministry of Health, has collected. The second part to your question, I support you 100%.
Agreed.
And I think there needs to be legislation that helps us to have better access to good food. The Ministry of Health and Wellness has
yes.
recently launched their health initiative with their new roadmap towards providing better access to health care for the Bahamians, and as part of that is being able to look at legislation and how do we put the necessary legislation in place to be able to help us to be healthier. And one of those things is going to be nutrition. On this time, we'll take a short break and we'll be back.
Reliable and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Wait, why you look so mashed up, like clothes at the washer?
No, wait, just a hard day. Wait.
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
We need to start joking about everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
Wait, what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave us, boy, one big contract. And nobody else get a chance, and nobody say nothing.
boy. You know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody's saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he sent me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I's a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No way. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crack Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you, and your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good evening, Bahamas, and those listening abroad. Welcome back to The Urologist Speak. My name is Dr. Graham Cates. Joining me this evening is Nurse Anita Cates, and we are here hosting on behalf of Dr. Gregory Neal. Sorry, Dr. Gregory Pinto. I spoke with Dr. Neal earlier today. I do apologize, Dr. Gregory Pinto, who is off island currently. Tonight, we are talking about your health and why does it matter. And what we'd like to lead the conversation into is what are some of the recommendations for screening programs and health assessments that people should be having and the frequency of what testing should be done. So one of the things that Anita and I have been advocating for over the last 20 years that we've been home is the role of getting your annual physical.
Yeah.
And your annual physical is an important assessment. It is you going in, checking in with your healthcare provider and finding out what your current status is. Why is that important? It's important because it's just like going to your bank account and checking your bank account so you know what money or resources, financial resources that you have available to you to know how do you need to position yourself. And what changes need to be made to be able to guarantee your success and your health is the same. Part of doing your annual medical is to not just see your physician to have a checkup physically, which is very important, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes, but there are some important blood tests that we want to talk about, Anita. So you want to tell us a little bit about some of those tests that we would normally do and why they're so important?
Absolutely. So amazingly, incredible, isn't it, how we can find out so much even from the blood.
Thousands of things
tests
we
can do. And that's actually a very good point because there are thousands, but there's only really a few that we need to look at. So top of the shop, we're looking for the CBC, CBC, which actually looks at our red cells, checking for anemia, our white cells for infection, and platelets, which looks at our clotting. So that's test number one, a CBC. Next one is a comprehensive metabolic profile.
So just before you move on to the comprehensive metabolic profile, just to let people know why the CBC is important here is because this is how we can find nutritional deficiencies.
Yeah, with the anemia.
And so with the anemia, which is what we are seeing more and more of in adults and in children, we can see that the hemoglobin is low and the size and shape of the red blood cells is low, which gives us an indication that there is some type of deficiency that's going on. And then we can look a little bit deeper and further into that deficiency. So the other one is the Comprehensive Metabolic Panel, CMP.
Yes. And this is another thing that I've seen big changes in. So it looks at the kidney function. And we've already mentioned we have seen changes within kidney profiles and people having different stages of chronic kidney disease. So that's one. Number two, we check your glucose, your blood sugar at that time as well. And three is your liver. Now, talking about the big changes and the liver enzymes that we're seeing are becoming more elevated due to fatty liver disease. This is kind of new on our radar, and we're noticing that two tests in particular, the AST, the ALT, are elevated. And that's very, very concerning because historically, we have seen cirrhosis in the liver caused by alcohol. And we're not seeing that now. We're also seeing cirrhosis caused by fatty liver. That's a huge concern. So that is a comprehensive metabolic profile. The next one.
So just before you go on to the comprehensive metabolic profile, just to also emphasize, when we are looking at your blood sugars, it's important to know what your numbers are.
Yes.
And we always like to show people in black and white, when you see your healthcare provider, please ask for a copy of your results. So you
yes.
can have a look at those numbers and know what they are. So with that blood sugar, we really want to see that blood sugar less than 100 on your fasting blood sample. And anything that's above 126 is cause for concern and could be type 2 diabetes and possibly is type 2 diabetes. And then Anita is also mentioning about the kidney function. Kidney disease is increasingly becoming a burden in the Bahamas, but globally.
Yes.
And so monitoring of your kidney function helps us to identify early changes. And this is important because if we can identify these changes early, we can be proactive in preventing long-term complications associated with blood sugars.
Yep.
Or kidneys, or as you've already again indicated about liver, which is fatty liver.
So let's go on from fatty liver onto cholesterol levels. And there are several types of cholesterol that we need to look at. One is a total profile, and that gives us an overall view, but it really doesn't give us all the information. So it's important for us to have a breakdown. One is something called triglyceride levels. That's what we call a bad fat. And we get that through three main places. It can be elevated due to smoking. It can be elevated due to alcohol. And it can be elevated due to extra sugar in the diet. So that's a big flag. And that can lead to, it can lead to heart disease. The next one that we look at is something called the HDL. I always remember HDL is H for heart and H for high. We want this to be high. And the way that we get it is through exercise.
Which is the good cholesterol.
The good cholesterol,
this is your good cardioprotective cholesterol.
We do want it to be high. And then we have the LDL, which is the low density lipoprotein. And we do want that to be low. So those are the basics of the lipid profile. We can do more if we want to investigate further, but those are the basics and gives us a lot of information. Next, we check the thyroid and see if your thyroid is working overtime.
Which is quite a common condition, especially in women.
Yes.
About 1 in 100 women in their lifetime may experience an underthyroid, so it's not an uncommon condition. Other important tests for men is the PSA, the prostate-specific antigen. And so that's recommended at the age of 40 that you start having your PSA tested. And then we also do a urine test, just checking for any infections, checking for any evidence of blood in the urine or protein inside of the urine, which may indicate some underlying condition that we would want to look into a little bit further to try to identify what the cause of it is. And so those are some of the basic investigations that are done just across the board. There are a couple of other important things in women's health.
Yeah, definitely looking at our hormone levels. That's important. We can definitely check into those, men and women's hormone levels. We can check into testosterone and estrogen, progesterone, and those types. There's many, many more. And the other thing we're talking about extra, and we were talking about nutrition deficiencies, is looking vitamin B12 and vitamin D. I mean, we're seeing low vitamin D levels, like across the board. It's crazy. We live in a country that has this beautiful sunshine. The majority of us stay inside, or the majority slap on a lot of sunscreen because we're concerned about skin cancer. And we are being affected by low vitamin D. What are some of the issues that are happening with patients who have low vitamin D levels?
So vitamin D is important in mental health. So we know that persons with low vitamin D are at greater risk of depression. So part of screening in patients when we see depression is to check their vitamin D levels and see if they are deficient. We also know that vitamin D is important in muscle health, bone health. And so these are some of the areas with deficiencies in D. You can have demineralization of the bone leading to osteoporosis or osteopenia, where the bones become more brittle and fragile and can lead to breaks. And then other things that are done as a part of annual physical in women is your pap smear starting at the age of 21 and your mammogram starting at the age of 40, unless otherwise recommended by your healthcare provider. And these are screening examinations that are important. For men, your PSA at 40 and also your colonoscopy starting at the age of 45, or in some patients, maybe even 40, especially with the increase number of patients that we're seeing with colon cancer. And globally, and in the Bahamas, we are seeing a growing number of younger people that are developing colon cancer.
Absolutely. And again, you mentioned about those changes. At one time, people were not getting their colonoscopies. They were so concerned, and the procedure was scary to them. But actually, I believe that we have a very big uptake on preventative healthcare practice, such as colonoscopy. And just for the listeners, my mom actually died from colon cancer. Mm. She was misdiagnosed. And therefore, what happened was I ended up having colonoscopies at the age of 40. I've currently had 3 colonoscopies I'm very proud of. And the third colonoscopy, we actually found 3 polyps, and one of the polyps was in one of the areas where my mother had developed her cancer. So we know that colonoscopies save lives, because when you find polyps early and you have them removed, then you have removed your risk. So it
and
is
that's
imperative.
True for all of the testing that we're talking about,
Absolutely.
Not just associated with colon cancer, which is very important, but all of these testings are preventative testings. And the thing with prevention is that we want to try to reduce the burden of disease.
Yes.
And you as an individual have the opportunity to see your healthcare provider, whether it be privately or whether it be through the NHI system, where you can get your physicals done. So you've had your physical, you get all of the results, you have your information, you've had your blood pressure checked, and we identify that there are some things and some big take-home messages that we want to provide. One of them we spoke about is the importance of knowing your numbers. We want you to be empowered with the information to know what your numbers are. Once you have that information, then you can begin with your healthcare provider to be able to make some changes.
Right, absolutely. And go into those resources. So you mentioned earlier about the blood glucoses, fasting need to be 100 or less. And looking at blood pressure as well, you know, blood pressure should be less than 130 over 80. And you can find this information. At the end of the day, what I love about us humans, we're actually all the same. Our bodies work beautifully, exactly the same. So the research is the same for most people, if everybody, when it comes to blood pressure, blood sugars. So it's important to sit down and come up with a plan. Now, you mentioned a little earlier about your bank balance, right? And check it and planning. I mean, I would hope most people plan for the week and how much money they've got. You've actually got to plan for your health as well. Where are you going? What are you doing? There's only one of you. You are perfectly and wonderfully made. And it is really, I want to encourage you guys, because there are so many things that are available to you as individuals. We've just mentioned exercise. We've seen more and more people exercising. We have also seen that there's more information out there. And we've guided you and said, you know, go to the best sites. All is not lost. And I'm sure you've got a million stories of those patients who have made changes and had a significant impact on their lives.
Yeah. So, you know, I think the key to being empowered with your health is information.
Yes.
And if you have the information, you now are given the tools. It's like a child learning your ABCs. It takes time. It takes practice. It doesn't become an immediate response. But over time, we learn our ABCs, and that's for the vast majority of people. And so what we need to do in our health is learn our ABCs. And
right.
There are some basic things associated with our health. One is good nutritional practices.
Yes.
So having access, to good nutrition, making sure that you're making healthy choices related to your nutrition. One of the things that I see often when I'm in social circumstances is this portion distortion that we have within the Bahamas.
Of course.
Where we just have these larger portions of food, which are really unnecessary. We're eating to eat at that point. We need to eat to satisfy ourselves from a nutritional point of view. Make sure that our primary source of liquid is water.
Yep,
rather than juices and sodas, and that's what we have in our containers for those who are looking. But, water is something that is 70% of your body is made up of water, so you need that resource available to you. So making those healthy choices. The other thing that's important is your activity, physical activity. And so that you can be consistent with getting your physical activity. The current recommendations on physical activity is about 150 minutes of moderate vigorous activity a day.
Yep.
One of the questions that people ask often is, oh, well, what is a good exercise for me to do? And my response is simple, anything that you're going to do.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So just find something that you enjoy doing and trying to be consistent. Now, we all fall off. And there's no magic formula. There's no perfect solution. And you fall off the wagon, you get back on. So that you don't, all hope is not lost.
Correct.
So that you can have the opportunity to be able to have a positive impact on your health by making conscious decisions. One of the other areas that is important and we can't overlook is mental health.
Oh my goodness, absolutely. And we have definitely seen an increase in those who are very anxious, depression.
And both in children and adults. We're not just talking about adults. We're also seeing it in children, toddlers.
Isn't that something?
Yes.
Now, mental health is imperative. And we've mentioned it's very important to get support. It's very important to talk to your physician, to talk to people who can understand, who can help and direct you. If you are a person right now who needs to reach out, we encourage you to reach out. And hard as it is when you are feeling this way, we actually know that exercise is like a magic pill. If you can get out and go for a walk, it increases serotonin levels. As we mentioned before, the reduction in vitamin D can cause depression. So sometimes the depression and anxiety has kind of a root cause. So yes, it's important when you come for your annual physical, and we often ask, you know, how are things going? Where are you up to? How are you feeling? And so I'll let you lean into that a bit more.
Having that conversation with your healthcare provider, recognizing that it's not an embarrassment. Everybody goes through stress. Everybody goes through periods of maybe feeling down. But when it does become a concern is when it's consistently there.
Yes.
And when it's impacting your quality of life, it's impacting your family's quality of life, it may be impacting your job and your ability to be able to perform your job, and your relationships. It's impacting your relationships. And, you know, as parents, and we have two wonderful kids, we have to be mindful of our children and how are they responding to stressful events that may be going on in our families or our school, and how are they responding. And if there is a concern, speak with your healthcare provider, reach out to them for mental health support so that you can get the necessary support that you need to have good mental health. And that is important, just like our physical health that we have been talking about, is to make sure that you are looking after your mental well-being. You know, we have a few more minutes left, and one of the things that I really want to round this conversation out is with the fact that our health and wellness is not just related to our physical and our emotional well-being, but is also related to our spiritual well-being.
You know,
and our spiritual health is one of the variables that is often overlooked by individuals, but it really is of significant importance.
Absolutely, 100%. And, you know, we've got three phones in this room. And I actually heard that we are disciples of the internet. And we don't spend that time to sit in those quiet spaces where we can have that connection. And one of the biggest things that we can do to have a deep spiritual connection is to get outside in nature and to be around and look at the birds. Don't look at your phone. Don't listen to music. Listen to the birds. Look at the plants. Look at the sky and just realize how incredible this place is. Stop, take a breath. But that spiritual connection is vital for all of this. And this is something that we've been preaching about, so to speak, that wellness is, it's the package. It's the social interactions as well.
Yes, very much so. Having those relationships with people, with your family members, with your friends that allow you to be able to connect. To have fun. We all need to have fun, you know? We need to go out and do something or have people over for a barbecue or have people over to sit around and play a game of dominoes or cards or something and create an environment for your kids going outdoors and kicking a ball with them. So the social aspect of it is so important. And all of these elements come together in this beautiful package, which is called health and wellness.
Yes.
And this is what we have been talking about over the last 20 years, the health and wellness of us as individuals, the health and wellness of our nation. And we want to continue to encourage all of you to lean in with intentionality. Things do not happen just because.
Right.
Right. We have to be intentional about our education if we want to be successful at our education. We have to be intentional about our business if we want to be successful in our business. We have to be intentional about our marriage so that we can have the best outcome of our marriage. And our health and wellness is the same. And all of these components that we're talking about are all parts of you being the whole person, the whole person that you want to be. The satisfied person that you want to be, the motivated person that you want to be. And by looking at all of these areas of your life, you are able to have a positive impact. And you know, one of the greatest gifts that you have is your ability to then be able to influence other people around you.
Right, yeah.
Right? Because when people see you doing well, or you thriving, or you're happy and in the workplace, you're having a this then becomes a positive impact on the broader community.
Right.
So we can all be shining lights.
Absolutely. And really that's where I want to end today, is that each and every one of you is incredibly special. And we really want you to encourage yourself to get your health checkups. Take care of yourself. Take care of your family. I know that there is so much strength and love here in the islands, and I know that every listener has hope and the ability to create a happy and healthy lifestyle.
And leaning on each other is so important. You know, we do not have to live in isolation. We can be in community. We can live with each other. We can make sure that we support each other mm-hmm. in making healthy and wise decisions that are going to have a long-term positive impact on our health and well-being. And that community is so important, having a community around you. And so if you are today feeling that, you know, you're a little bit out of the loop, I encourage you, get involved in some activity, whether it be a church community, whether it be a civic community, whether it be a non-governmental organization or something that you can connect to that's going to be able to give you purpose in life. Yes. And we all need a purpose, the purpose-driven life, right?
Absolutely.
And with that purpose comes outcome. And mm-hmm. we want to have that positive outcome on your health and well-being, ensuring that you are looking after yourself, taking advantages of the each and every opportunity that is given to you each and every day. And we are very fortunate here in the Bahamas to generally live in a peaceful society.
Yes.
Yes, there are pockets of issues that we have with crime, and we must be careful. But we must also recognize that we have a beautiful country. We are beautiful people, and we are inspired to continue to grow and continue to develop each other.
Absolutely.
So your final thoughts, Anita, as we close out this evening.
My final thought is, just as you were talking, and I'm just going to say this, it is better in the Bahamas. As a community, it is amazing. And you have got the hope. Be encouraged to make changes, take care of yourself, and take care of one another.
Yes, let's be our brothers and our sisters' keepers, our children's keepers, and the keepers of ourselves. And in this way, we can be a healthier, happier Bahamas. Thank you, everyone. We hope that you've enjoyed this session.
Take care.
Letting your pencil make you feel like a champion.
Rise up again.
Let nothing keep you down.
Live your best.